from the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined on the live blog by our guru, Jamie Snowden, and our marketing guy, Alex Talish, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Later tonight, we have a very, very special Ice Bowl attending mystery guest.
Mystery guest!
But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Soon to be your NFL MVP.
Richard Rodgers.
Having his most productive day as a pro.
Micah Hyde.
Thanks for giving us the lead and tying a Packers franchise record.
And we got the bad. We got field goal protection.
Week 17. Really?
Brad Jones.
Hand to the quarterback's helmet. Really?
And we got the ugly. We got Indomicon Donkey Kong
Mighty ugly with that step, which feels like ages ago now because, you know, we've got all sorts of different controversies to talk about in the NFL sphere, but we're going back to the good, bad, and the ugly from week 17, and there it is. Welcome back, Corey. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. New Year.
Number 130. It only took us 7 years to get to 130.
We're there. 130 episodes of Packer Transplants.
I'm very excited
about... Does that include, like, the first, like, 20-minute podcast we used to do back in the day?
Yes.
Wow. It's taken us a while. Meanwhile, Caravu's, like, approaching episode
like
500.
And he's only been doing it for, like, 4 years. Awesome.
Well, you know, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality.
I'm really excited.
We're not great in either department.
I'm really excited about the playoffs, I have to say.
Dude, I'm excited, period. I'm excited about Packer football.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about the NFL. I'm excited about the mystery guest. But most of all, you know what I'm excited about?
What's that?
Having myself an ice-cold Wisco Disco.
And I got my super kind right here.
Thank you, Still Mank. I'm telling you.
This is the greatest thing that ever happened to our show.
It really is. And I just want to say to everyone watching and listening out there, a lot of you will be attending the game this weekend. I'm hyper jealous. I'll be here in New York City
working. I'll be there.
I know Corey Banky will be there. He will be sampling some wares from Still Mank, I have no doubt. When and if and if and when you get to Green Bay in the next few days, people, seek out Still Mank Brewery. Sample some of their fine wares.
Yes.
It is absolutely phenomenal. It will not let you down. They have something for everybody. That's all I have to say about that.
And I will be going to the mystery guest birthday party instead of going to the tap room at Still Mank, which I highly recommend too. So,
gotta do it.
Even if you don't get Wisco Disco at the stadium, you can go to their brewery.
Gotta do it.
And you can drink in their tap room, which is really badass and
so
really good.
It's amazing. They tweeted out some pictures from there tonight, and I highly recommend checking them out on Twitter. Just the best. Just the best. Still Mank Brewery. Can't beat it. All right, let's get on to some Packers news. Packers news. Number one. Aaron Rodgers does not participate in today's practice. After that, Mike McCarthy took the podium and freaked me out by saying things like, my plan is for Aaron to play on Sunday, and Aaron may practice tomorrow, and all signs point to him playing. Naturally, I freaked out. And I think Jason Wilde was a little curious as well, because he did a follow-up with Coach during the press conference asking, Mike, your language today, you know, just making sure that Aaron didn't suffer a setback yesterday. And I know a lot of people on Twitter were talking about how Aaron seemed a little dodgy in his answering of questions yesterday on his radio show.
So you think he's not going to play?
No, I think he's going to play. Because then later on, everyone at his locker asked him point blank, are you going to play on Sunday? And he said, I'm going to play. There's no question. I'm going to go. The only question is how. How will he play?
Can we talk about Aaron Rodgers for a second?
Sure. It is a Packers theme show, so that's appropriate.
Can we make a little bit of a segue here? Okay.
Go right ahead, dude.
Right now, I'm very excited, and I'm very positive, but I'm also a little bit angry.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
When aren't you, though? I mean, really. That's kind of just like how you exist.
Okay. Let's just talk for a second before this game gets too crazy and away from us, right?
Yep.
Before we start our little dance towards the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And let's talk about
you go on your road trips.
Let's talk about one of the epic failures, one of the very few rare epic failures of a Mr. Ted Thompson.
Whoa, Okay. This has got to be some serious stuff right
and
here.
And this has everything to do. You know where I'm going.
He's right
with
over
this.
Your shoulder right there.
Yeah, he is.
He's looking at you.
He looks at me every day.
Yeah.
We talk to each other sometimes.
It's like when Madden and the busts in Canton.
When I'm alone.
Corey's
in
here in the office talking to Ted.
It's me and Ted and Bart and Aaron.
Yeah, you know, just hanging.
It's, you know, sometimes Brett over my shoulder. So here's the thing.
Oh, dear.
Can we, let's talk about Matt Flynn for a second. Is Scott Tolzien going to be active on Sunday?
Probably.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Because he was week 17, because they were worried about Aaron's calf. So that was the first time all year. And you have to think they'll have Tolzien active, but Matt Flynn will still be the number two.
Okay, Arizona almost made it past the playoffs with their third string.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which means their second string was pretty damn good.
Yep.
Okay, Matt Flynn
not so
is
damn
the
good.
Opposite of pretty damn good.
This is true.
I think you're
not lying.
And can we just get done with this? Like, we have spent a year and a half as Packer fans, some of us, pushing for this guy to not have a job. Mm-hmm. Yep, why does he still have the second string job? It's like having an understudy that you have no intention of ever taking the stage.
Yes, yes. And we saw the brief three and out. Although, to be fair, if you go back and watch that series, Lacy goes nowhere, and then they ask, you know, Matt Flynn to throw a pass on third down, and Bulaga promptly gets beat for the one time during the game. So, you know, yes, Matt Flynn engenders less than confidence. So, this whole Scott Tolzien thing, I'm with, I think it was Bill Huber on Twitter the night of the Cardinals game when they lost to the Panthers. If the Cardinals have Scott Tolzien as their quarterback, they win that game. There is no doubt in my mind. Like, I have zero doubt.
Well, and everybody, Kyle brings up Matt Flynn, not Kyle Cousineau.
No, why would he be here?
Yeah, well, he didn't.
Why would he be watching?
He doesn't show up live.
He doesn't do live.
Matt Flynn's second half versus the Cowboys last year begs to differ. Okay, that was last year.
Last year.
What have you done for me lately?
What have you done at any point during this season?
A whole lot of nothing.
Whenever he's been asked to do anything, he has looked like hot garbage. Including in the preseason.
You're really being mean to hop garbage in that moment right
I'm
there.
I'm sorry. Especially when you've got a whole training camp and preseason's worth of film showing you blatantly that Scott Tolzien is better. And I love that. People always bring that up. Yeah, you know how they got back in that game? Because they ran the hell out of Eddie Lacy. Hmm. Matt Flynn said made some nice throws, no doubt. Andrew Corliss made a great catch over the middle. Jordy Nelson had to basically rob the football from the Cowboys defensive back so that it wasn't an interception and it was a touchdown instead. Most wide receivers, that's an interception.
Yeah.
So let's just slow down on the Matt Flynn one in Dallas. Yes, Matt Flynn helped.
I just don't get it. Like, it's the
biggest. But this year, he has been downright terrible.
It's a huge weakness on our team. Now, that's not to say
that. Why do you got
to
go here? Like, I'm all excited. I'm all happy for the playoffs. Yes, we're talking about Aaron because he's, you know, he's QB1. You got to lead with him. And then you go to Matt Flynn.
And here's
why you got to piss me off.
Well, here's
like
the thing. Almost any team in the NFL, you get rid of your first string quarterback, you're done.
You're
okay?
Game over.
The only team you can look at this year, though, is Arizona.
Yeah.
And they had a legitimate chance.
That's why Bruce Arians will win Coach of the Year.
Yep.
No doubt about it. Can we move on now?
Yes.
Because now I'm upset.
We can move on.
All right. Back to good news. Devon House, not only looking better, says he will play. Asked in the locker room today, he said, "No doubt you're going to see the Devon House you saw against the Patriots and the Falcons." Now that's got to excite you if you are a Green Bay Packers fan, which I would lay good money that the majority of our audience here tonight is. Devon House, I'm telling you, I don't know how many snaps he'll play. I don't know what the percentage will be. I don't know how truly healthy he really is. You have to think they try to get him matched up against Dez Bryant at least a few times, if not the majority of the time, because he's the one guy on this squad who's really stood toe-to-toe physically with the bigger, stronger receivers that the Packers have faced.
Can we just talk about how sloppy the Cowboys are for a hot second?
Yeah, sure.
I kind of feel like the Cowboys are where we were like 6.5 games ago.
I don't know, man. They had a pretty good last month, but they did look sloppy against Detroit.
I mean,
will give you that.
Let's just put it this way. If Jeff Triplett hadn't given the entire game to the Dallas Cowboys and Chris Christie wasn't in the booth with Jerry Jones, do we really think the Dallas Cowboys would have won?
Wait, you're
I
saying
don't.
That Chris Christie had something to do with it?
You know he did.
Oh, man. For those of you who don't know,
Jerry Jones owns the referees too, by the way.
For those of you who,
Tom Crabtree said it on Twitter, so it's true.
So for those of you who don't know, the Jeff Triplett reference, Triplett was the supervising official on the sideline.
That's the scariest thing of all.
Jeff Triplett was supervising something, people.
Oh, man, I saw that on Inside the NFL last night,
that
and I was
scary.
Like, oh, my God, that's what happened. That's the that's what
Jeff
happened.
Jeff Triplett was involved.
Jeff Triplett had something
no
to do
wonder.
With it.
That's a scary proposition. But the good news is that Gene Steratore is the official on Sunday for the Packers-Cowboys game. Gene is one of the best. I love him as an official, mostly because he doesn't call ticky-tack QB roughing penalties.
Yeah, but the issue was not with the head NFL official last weekend.
Morelli. Yeah.
It wasn't with him.
It was with the ego match
that goes on when you don't have a team that works together.
Well, there
which
was
really
that.
Funny on Inside the NFL last night. For the first time in his life, Phil Simms was making sense. I could not believe it. I thought I was in an alternate reality.
You thought you ate the wrong brownies?
Yeah, I was like, what is happening? Phil Simms, I'm liking what he's saying. It's very bizarre.
He's making
and
sense.
He was talking about referees and how they should be together. I know your feelings about the issue.
The crew, yeah, absolutely.
And
I've been
saying
that for years.
And, you know, it is true. They're a team. They play together. Why would you tear them apart? There's no valid reason to do it.
Other than to simply reward certain guys for getting high grades.
Which is a really dumb reason in the playoffs.
Nothing to do with facilitating a football game.
Yeah.
At all. That's all we have to say.
I wish that they changed that because I think Detroit got robbed. Let's just say that, okay? They got robbed.
It's hard as a fan of a team that got robbed in the manner in which we did in the Fail Mary game for me to then turn around and say Detroit got robbed. Yes, Detroit got jobbed. I'll say that.
They got robbed.
But they had plenty of chances to win that game after that call. If their coach has the stones to go for it on 4th-and-1,
true.
They have a chance to win that game. Rather, he plays scared. They punt. Of course, he shanked it. Didn't know that going in, but you still played scared.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would agree.
There's a whole lot of coulda, woulda, shoulda there.
But it's a playoff game. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And if you throw the flag, like, what the heck? It's ridiculous.
All right, let's get back to the Packers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's talk about the offense. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers offense. You look at this matchup with the Cowboys. It's interesting. You know, Rob Marinelli does a great job with this crew. It's amazing what he's done, really. And they're not incredibly talented. They play with more hustle, though, more togetherness than... I was doing film work the other night, and I'm watching them, and I'm like, I can't even believe some of these guys were on the team last year. Because last year, you watched Cowboys tape, and this defense was just downright atrocious at times with not only just in the fundamentals, but just in their effort. Like, no rallying to the football. Horrible angles. I mean, there's a litany of things you could, you know, check off a list. This year, they're rallying to the football, they're assignment sure, they play well. But like I said, there are a lot of talent deficiencies there, especially at corner. You got to think Brandon Carr is going to be a number one target for Aaron Rodgers. You know, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, whoever they, you know, choose to line up over Carr, you got to think that's going to be kind of their target. Now, clearly, the Cowboys will roll coverage over there.
Yeah.
They have been for the last month or so, but you have to think they're going to try and find Carr. They're going to try and use motion, what have you, matchups to kind of isolate and get him one-on-one. It'll be interesting to see how often they go after him, especially early.
So who do you think is going to have the biggest game on the offense, besides Aaron Rodgers, of course? Eddie Lacy or Randall Cobb?
Yeah, I think that's the choice.
Right?
I really do. And I think it's Eddie Lacy. I think Randall
or
Cobb
or Richard Rodgers could have the breakout game of his life.
Yeah, he could.
He
definitely started too against the Lions. I think it's Eddie Lacy. I think you're going to see, because the way Marinelli runs his defense, you'll see lots of too high shell. You'll see lots of light boxes. And Aaron at the line will say, all right. And they're going to run right at the Cowboys. And they're going to run them right out of that cover two shell. They're going to have
to. Who do you think is going to? We're definitely going to blitz more than them, right? At the end of the
day. Yeah, definitely. I mean, just by the nature of the defenses. It's funny. I did a Cowboys podcast this morning, and they pointed out something that I hadn't even thought of. All four losses for the Cowboys this year, all against 3-4 defenses.
Ooh.
Which is interesting.
That's awesome.
Which is interesting.
I was about to give you shit for being on a Dallas Cowboy podcast, and then I just realized you got a little nugget out of it, so
yeah,
it's worth it.
It's not bad. It's all right.
It's pretty good.
Anyway, but...
We're kind of a fake 3-4 defense, but anyway.
Yeah, well, we're a nickel all the time. I mean, that's the thing. And then, the thing you mentioned with, you know, Clay in the middle, like a hide at slot. Those are the big changes that have made so much, you know, difference on the defensive side of the ball since the bye week. But I, we talked about it before. I think Devon House makes a huge difference in this game. I really do.
I hope
because of the physicality factor.
But I hope so, because that's going to give Tremont an INT.
There you go.
Because when we get to defense, there's something I want to say about the secondary.
Yeah. But we mentioned Eddie Lacy before. I do think this is a game where he gets 20 touches, both running the ball and catching it out of the backfield. I think he is kind of, he has to be the workhorse in this game simply because of the style of defense the Cowboys play. But then, as you mentioned, Richard Rodgers definitely hitting his stride. There's no doubt about it. You saw, I won't say it's an offensive explosion. He had a number of catches against the Lions, some big time third down catches. And contested catches as well. That's the thing. He's had a lot of balls this year where he's been pretty open or it's been on a comeback route, so he's got easy separation, etc. There were some catches against the Lions, especially that kind of in route where he's got a guy draped all over him, and he makes the third down catch for a big first down. I mean,
not hitting the rookie wall.
No, he's kinda,
unlike some people. Devontae Adams.
No, be nice. Now, be nice. The thing with Richard Rodgers is you still see the slip-ups with the run blocking, but he is light years better than he was at the beginning of the year. So you have to hope you continue to see that kind of trend.
We have a Tremont troll on the chat, I just want to say.
Don't we every week?
No. All right. Today we have a Tremont troll, and I'm going to just ignore him right now.
Yeah, don't even. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Don't take
all
the
I have
bait.
To, you know what I'm going to say?
What's that?
I'm going to say four words. Uh-oh. Tremont in the playoffs.
There you go. There you go. That's all you have to say. I remember Tremont in the playoffs last year. Big pick.
I remember
putting the wood on Kaepernick. That was fun.
I remember Tremont in the Atlanta game in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I'll never forget it. By the way, I am kind of hoping, okay, so if we win, mm-hmm. I am hoping that Seattle wins, actually. And you're, I know a lot of people are saying crazy. That's crazy, but here's why.
Uh-huh.
Because yours truly
yep.
will be in the front row of Seattle with the 12th men,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Because one of my favorite games of all time I've ever been to as a Packer fan
yeah.
was not at Lambeau Field.
Nope.
It was in Atlanta
yeah.
for the playoff game on the front row. And I remember Jen Latta being like, because I had like a beard and I just looked yeah. like a freak show. And she was like, who's the weirdo? And I'm like all decked out on the front row by myself.
Of course.
And if you lose when that happens, it's really terrible. So you're taking this like major risk,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
You're either like you're either
it's either the best night of your life,
yep.
or the worst.
Because like the fire went off, and like it's God. So much energy in Atlanta, and I bet Seattle's going to be the same way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like when you can deflate that energy,
it's pretty awesome.
It's amazing.
And your energy keeps going up.
Yeah.
And their energy is going down the whole time.
Yeah. And you don't you gotta put a stopper on yourself because you don't want to be a douchebag.
Don't want to get carried
you
know, away.
You can't go into douchebag land. You have to. You can't get aggressive. You just gotta be like head
cheering
down.
Cheering my team.
I'm staying. Team. You know, I can get a little bit across over the line. So you gotta watch out
a little bit.
You know,
just a little bit.
But that's why I'm hoping for it because and as much as I'd love Lambeau, I'm gonna be at Lambeau if we're there. And right, Lambeau's right. great. NFC Championship redemption. Jared Bush can get some redemption. Finally, close the chapter on his life, which would be amazing for him.
Forget the fact that he picked off a pass in the Super Bowl. He needs redemption in Lambeau Field. I hear you. No, I'm on board.
Considering on board. He lost the NFC Championship game, that we the only time we ever lost the NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field.
This is never gonna go away, ever. Ever. Even if,
are you kidding
even,
me?
Even if Jared Bush,
Jared Bush needs redemption, there are a lot of at least 50% of Packer fans would agree that Jared Bush needs redemption at Lambeau Field in the NFC Championship game.
Related story, 75% of statistics cited are made up on the spot.
I just made that one up.
I know. That's my point.
I don't really like you right now.
Speaking of Jared Bush, let's talk about the defense a little bit. Specifically, Mike Daniels versus Ronald Leary. That's going to be some fun, y'all. Leary had major trouble with Ndamukong Suh. Of course, who doesn't? I think he's going to have a lot of trouble with Mike Daniels in a different way. I think Mike is a great technician. He's obviously not quite as powerful as Suh is, but I think he's gonna throw the book at Leary, and that is going to be a lot of fun. On the other side of their line, I think you can expect the Packers to target Zach Martin and their tackle, Parnell, because, oh, daddy, do those guys have a lot of trouble against the blitz against Detroit, who I understand they got burned in the second half on one blitz for a big, humongous touchdown. But after that, like, the Detroit was so scared to blitz again that they stopped, even though it was so successful in the first half, Dom's got to go.
There's no way Dom Capers gets scared of blitzing. We're talking about Dom Capers.
And that brings me to my next point, or another point. I don't think it's in the script. It's interesting that nugget about the Cowboys being 0-for-4 against 3-4 defenses. If you look at the job Scott Linehan has done against Dom Capers, it's actually pretty good. Now, obviously, when he was with Detroit has not won in Green Bay in forever. So he never really pulled it out there. But he did call several very good games against Dom's defenses, usually in the manner of Dom, lots of crazy blitzes, gets into third and long, you know the heat is coming, you're not sure from where, but you know it's coming. Scott Linehan has a great handle on tendencies, on where it's going to come from, when it's going to come, what the numbers are, and he knows just what to call as far as a delay crosser or a tight end screen or a traditional screen. He dials it up almost every time, and it drives me nuts. And I went back and I was watching some old games this week. Linehan, he has Dom. Now, I'm not saying that every call is going to be brilliant, but I guarantee two or three times, maybe more, on Sunday, he's going to have the perfect call for a Dom blitz.
But here's the problem, okay?
Yep.
As much as that matters, right? Personnel, matchups.
Yeah.
Except with the exception of Dez Bryant.
That's the one.
And Tony Romo.
Yeah.
We match up better than the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, absolutely. You mean our defense to their offense and their defense to our offense.
Our defense to their offense specifically, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we have a counter for almost everything they do. The one question.
Dez Bryant.
The question there is.
And their running back.
DeMarco Murray.
Who hasn't
been as good lately. But I will say, I liked the piece Bob McGinn wrote earlier this week, or maybe it might have been last week, about the change in the defense and how the play of the secondary has really been a catalyst. But he wrote about it there, the need for Dom to commit numbers. He's had to bring that safety down.
Yeah.
He put a lot of single high safety. Going to leave somebody out on that island. And I know.
But does he have to with this offensive line? Isn't that the difference here? That the Dallas offensive line is not what he's been going against the last 4 weeks?
Well, no, but they're one of the best in the running game.
Yeah.
And that's the problem is like they commit to power, which I expect they will. And Dom probably expects they will. You're going to have to commit numbers. And then you're going to have somebody free one on one outside with Dez. And you got to win that matchup. And that's a tall task. So I don't know. We'll see. But it'll be very interesting. I expect play action early from the Cowboys because
how do you feel about Ha-Ha blitzing?
I'm okay, although he's had a couple of blitzes this year where he's had free runs at the quarterback and missed or the quarterback sidestepped.
I feel like you got to keep Ha-Ha this year in his little zone.
I don't mind him. I don't mind him on the line if he's playing the run. I'm not a fan of him blitzing yet. I think Morgan Burnett's a better option, but you can't obviously do the same thing every time, or they'll start expecting it. I'd much rather have Micah Hyde blitz up from the slot. I think he's very good at that.
Speaking of Micah Hyde,
haven't done a ton of that.
Wasn't the whole knock on Micah Hyde that he couldn't run in the NFL?
Yeah, something like that. And now he has tied the franchise record for most punt returns in the history of the Green Bay Packers franchise. Which I don't
isn't
have to tell
saying
you.
That much, though.
Well, Desmond Howard, Will Blackman,
because
those
of
are the gentlemen
Super Bowl,
he's tied.
But Desmond Howard because of the Super Bowl.
Well, that's one hell of a year.
It was.
But he's three.
But
he has three all time. Will Blackman has three all time.
That was,
and now Micah Hyde has
that
three.
That was 1996, 97. Like before
it
that.
There in 97.
Like if you really look, but if you, I'm saying like because the Super Bowl was in 97.
All I'm saying.
But if you really look
all
at the
I'm
history
saying,
of the Green Bay Packers
history,
punt return and kick return.
History.
Yikes. Well, you got Paul Hornung and then you got Desmond Howard.
And Micah Hyde's as good as anybody. That's pretty impressive for a guy who can't run, as you say.
Yes, I would agree.
Like how I saved that. And finally, what about Sam Barrington? I did like Ty's piece on Barrington being a possible, ascending player here in the playoffs. Could help key a Super Bowl run, although I don't think he's going to play as much as Bruce Wilkerson did or even as much as James Starks did. But I think the idea that he could help on the defensive side of the ball, especially in this game, the fact that, and probably in the next game, no matter who they play, because whoever they play is going to have a strong running game, Barrington brings the wood. Now, he may be out of place every once in a while on a drop in coverage. He may be over-aggressive from time to time. But you like that.
And the verdict is he's a step up from AJ Hawk.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Which is one of the top storylines of the Green Bay Packers this season, if you really think about it.
Well, the change out, the move to Clay, and then bringing Barrington in. I mean, even Lattimore in at first, and then Barrington's this kind of emergence.
And Mike Daniels, and I would say.
Mike's the man. Mike's the man. But Barrington has a big role to play in so far as setting the physicality early on. Remember that game against the Patriots?
Yeah.
They had those two runs early on where, Barrington just laid the wood, and it was like, hi, we're here to play defense. And it's something that had been hit and miss with the Packers this year. So expect Sam to have an intricate role on Sunday stopping DeMarco Murray.
What about Jayron Elliott, real quick? I just saw it in the chat, Allen.
I think he'll
Allen's not the deer camp today, by the way.
I think he'll see a few snaps. I'll be surprised if he plays a ton. I think he'll get in the rotation a little bit, probably in the second half when they need fresh legs. But I don't expect him to play a prominent role.
Okay, let's go back to the offense. Okay, I did mention Devontae.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
could Devontae have a breakout game on Sunday?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, he could. It all depends on what they practice.
What's more likely, Devontae Adams to have a breakout game or Matt Flynn to have a breakout game?
God, why do you keep bringing
up
Matt Flynn?
I'm sorry, that was rude.
Why are you hating, dude?
But to answer the question.
Devontae Adams.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's no doubt. Next.
Okay, you ready to hype it up?
I'm ready. Point? Are you ready?
The hype man himself.
Are you ready?
Aaron Nagler.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm CheeseheadTV.com welcome. Our guest tonight has not only been featured on CBS Sports, they will also be featured on Monday Morning Quarterback, Peter King's website, very soon. And they are here exclusively tonight, CheeseheadTV.com. The mystery guest attended the Ice Bowl. Didn't listen to it on the radio. Didn't watch it on television, if you're into that sort of thing. They were at the Ice Bowl. Enough of this Ice Bowl 2 nonsense.
Yeah, we got to put this to bed.
Let's talk to someone who was there. Corey.
Hopefully they pick up.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the line, Aunt Gert.
This is Aunt Gert calling.
All right.
What's up, Aunt
Gert? My favorite aunt who's about to turn 90 on Monday. I cannot believe it. Welcome to the show.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy birthday and all that stuff. All these important people are born in January. You know that.
That's right. That's right. The most
that includes our Packers.
Yes. Yes. There you go.
Right?
So, right. So, Aunt Gert, everybody's talking about how this game is going to be Ice Bowl 2. I wanted to have you on the show because you actually attended the Ice Bowl. And so I just want Packer fans out there to get an idea of what the Ice Bowl was like. So can you just tell us some things you remember about it?
Well, I don't know why they think it's going to be a repeat of Ice Bowl 2. Weather-wise, yes. Weather-wise was mighty cold. I mean, 12 to 15 below, but... when you're cheering and watching intently what the Packers are doing, why, you never think of it. And somebody asked me if when I went to the game, if I thought, the Packers were going to win. And I said, certainly. Every Packer fan certainly thinks their team is going to win, don't they?
Yeah,
I mean, you don't go to a win or a game to expect the team to lose. My gosh, sometimes they do, yes, because of some of the things in the plays. But you expect your team is going to win, so... And it was a good game. It was a well-fought game, and it was very good. It was a clean game, I thought. Of course, I probably missed some of it, but that's okay. you gotta keep up with everything else when you're at a game, too. Yes, we were so very bundled up. We were so nice and warm. We didn't feel any cold at all. You'd think your face would get cold and be frozen. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't. I don't think anybody got... frozen face or fingers from the game. And our clothing at that time was so bulky. It wasn't lightweight like it is now and light, that you could move around and it was very bulky. But We made it. You do what you have to when you want to, right?
Yep. So, what about after the game? What was that like?
Oh, after the game, it was wild. It was absolutely wild. First of all, here's a good question that I have to have answered. At that time, they went out and they broke down the goalposts. There were no cops down there or anything telling them to stop. But right now, nowadays, they don't allow that anymore, do they?
No chance. You'd get tackled.
Yeah.
You'd get a penalty if you did, right?
Well, exactly.
Well, if a full goalpost came down, and I don't know what happened to them, I suppose they took parts of them home with them or something, whatever. And then we all got in our cars, and we went downtown en masse, a great big trail of cars going downtown, all going the same way. And I think I almost can say for sure that it was a two-lane street, but the two lanes of cars were going the same way, and it wasn't marked a one-way street or anything, but the cops didn't care. They, until you got closer downtown, then they separated the traffic back into regular going and coming, you know, two lanes. But for the first time, right around the stadium, why, you couldn't have gone south if you had tried to. It was go north or else go no place, you know. But, and the, everybody beeping their horns, it was wild. It was absolutely wild. But it wasn't destructive. Nobody was racing. It was a very slow race. And not a race, a very slow parade. That's what it was. It was a good parade. So, but anyway, it was very, very good. So, and this may be a repeat where... according to the score, it may be a repeat. It's going to be a very close game. I predict a very, very close game. You know, the Cowboys are good, but they aren't the only American team.
I sometimes wonder why they always
refer to themselves as the American team. I mean, of course, they think Green Bay is in the frozen tundra, and that's good. We are, but we like it here, so, you know. the one thing that the Packers have to do is Sunday's game will be a challenge in one respect, as far as I'm concerned. If you watch the last two games, they would get down to the red zone, and then they would have first down, and they couldn't get into the touchdown. I don't know what was wrong with them. Three tries, and then they'd have to kick. Now, we can't have too much of that Sunday. We can have some of it because we've got to get 3 points, so we're 3 points ahead at the end of the game. So they can try that once. We can have one kick there.
One time.
The
yeah,
others
exactly.
Better be, the others better be touchdowns so that we win, you know.
So Anchor breaking it down.
So anchored. So what if Eddie Lacy scores a touchdown, what do you do after the game?
Eddie Lacy. If Eddie Lacy scores a touchdown, and he certainly will. I'm sure he will if he can. I have never seen a player who plays and who can spin around as good as Eddie Lacy. He gets more yards than Jim Taylor used to do a good job too, but Eddie Lacy gets far more yards than Jim Taylor had, I think. I don't know. I'm nobody to keep record of the yards, but it certainly is fun watching Eddie spin around there. So what do we do after he makes a touchdown? There are three of us ladies. Well, somebody will call me. The phone will ring right away. And one of my neighbor lady friends will say, well, are we going to A&W Monday? Yes, we are, because as you all know, if you're good Packer fans, A&W in Wisconsin, they sponsor a football player each year. They had Jordy Nelson last year. And remember, they had the Jordy Burgers?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
87 cents for the Jordy Burgers.
87
well,
cents.
Here are three ladies going out to Reedsville to drive 5 miles for a Jordy Burger every Monday when Jordy made a touchdown. And we sit there and we eat our Jordy and a big container of root beer, and then we go home well satisfied. Very, very big crowds for the Jordy Burger last year. We had to stand in line quite a while to get our Jordy Burger. Well, now this year, the A&W is sponsoring Lacy, so we get our Eddie Burgers. So they have two jerseys up there. And you can sign up to win the jerseys. They have a drawing, and then of course at the end of the season they're supposed to draw. But A&W and Reedsville drew 3 weeks before the end of the season. Ticked me off a little bit. I couldn't quite understand that, but I don't need a jersey anyway that badly. But it would just be nice to win one once at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what we do. We have to you know, go over to Reedsville to A&W for our Charlie Burger, so, or Eddie Burger, excuse me, our Eddie Burger.
So,
not a Lacey Burger. It's not a Lacey Burger. It's an Eddie Burger.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's $1.27 this year.
Whoa!
Because,
price inflation.
Well, yeah. Eddie's number is 27, so they couldn't charge you 27 cents. So they made $1.27, which is still very good. But it's the idea. We just wait for him to make a touchdown, and we know where we're going to have our Monday night meal. You know.
Nice.
So, okay. What else would you like to know?
So, I do know that it's great that this show is on Wednesday night because we couldn't have got my Aunt Gert because tomorrow she plays bridge, and that's a very, very, very important. So,
got to play the bridge.
So, Aunt Gert, I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. And
I am looking forward to seeing you too, Corey. It's quite a while since I've seen you and since we've had a good talk.
Too long.
We'll have a good talk, and we'll have a hug or two, and maybe a little nip or two, all right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay,
so
okay.
We're Packer fans are looking for the prediction from you, Anchor, about Sunday's game.
Oh, didn't I tell you that yet? Oh, heavens, the prediction's going to be, let's see, with their kick, it's going to be 17 for Packers, and 14, I'll give the Cowboys 14.
Whoa, 14, huh?
All right. Okay. Close game. Close, low-scoring game. I like it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, what is it, McMurray or Murray? What is that character's name on the Cowboys? They've got to watch him. Murray, isn't
Murray,
it Murray that
yeah,
runner?
The running back, yes.
Yeah, if they let him start running, then not so good. They're going to have to watch him. So, and I think they're aware of that. I'm sure they're very well aware of that. Did you realize that they're practicing outside this year? Now, way back in the days of Lombardi, when it was cold like that, Vince didn't take the boys outside, even though he was going to be playing in some of this cold weather. But McCarthy said that he takes, you know, they talk, they have their talks and do some practices inside in Hudson there, and then he does take them outside for a little while, though. So they'll be all conditioned. Don't worry, they'll be all conditioned for the cold weather. That'll be a good factor for the for the Cowboys. We'll see if the Cowboys can handle our weather, right?
Yeah,
they think
exactly.
they think they can handle everything, but I don't know. Texas is not able to. They're not that big. Now, listen, here's another thing. It kicked me off this morning. I went into Appleton for some work at the hospital, okay? So as I'm going in, I'm listening to a sports announcer, and he's telling how great the Cowboys are. And he was just going on endlessly about how ridiculously great they were. They had this big stadium. They had the great team. And he was going on and on and on about the fans. Hey, Green Bay has a big stadium. We have a good team. And we have loyal fans. I mean, I don't know if the Texas people are that loyal to their team or not. I don't think so. I think we're far more loyal. Win or lose, we're behind our Packers, right?
I would agree. I would agree with that.
Absolute truth right there.
Right. Okay. So if I only knew what station I had on, I'd write to that, a little sports announcer. It was something where they were calling in, and maybe it was not the sports announcer's idea. Maybe it was one of the callers that was talking so smart, you know, but I think my blood pressure went up 200 right at the point.
Don't say that. You need to stop listening to the radio, Anchor, because
no
I
more,
need you around.
No more sports radio, Anchor.
You are definitely one of the my favorite people on the face of planet Earth, so I need you to stay here as long as you can.
Oh, I will. But, you know, people shouldn't say that. They're not the only team. Also, they were talking about they mentioned the hatred that was between the teams. There isn't any hatred between
the
teams.
There's no hatred?
No, there isn't. I mean, they all want to win the game, and I mean, they have their points of difference, but they're really not angry at one another like that. I don't think they are. Heaven's sakes, next year some of them might be traded. We might have some of them playing on our Packer team. Who knows?
You never know.
You know. So you never know. They better be careful what they're saying. But I think a lot of these people are saying a lot of things that they shouldn't be saying. I mean, our team is good. Our team is very good. I admit that we do have some days when we aren't just as sharp as we should be, but they'll be sharp on Sunday. You wait and see, okay?
All right.
I love it.
Got it. You heard it here first, Packer fans. Aunt Gert, 9 years old on Monday, attended the Ice Bowl. She is saying they're going to make it happen on Sunday.
Love it.
That's right. They're going to have. That's going to be my birthday gift from the Packers.
There
right?
You go.
There you go.
Perfect.
There we are. Man. Okay. Good.
Anchor,
oh, it was so good talking to you. Oh, good.
Thank you so much, Anchor. Thanks for coming on the show.
Okay, and I'll be waiting to see you Saturday. Okay.
Okay, I'll see you Saturday.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
That's Anchor. That's how she rolls.
It's just, you know.
Anchor breaking down the red zone issues. That's the highlight of my week.
I'm just a terrible nephew because it's taken us all year to get anchored on the show.
Yeah, but it's perfect.
It's the perfect time.
Ice Bowl week.
Yeah,
perfect.
Playoffs of the time.
Come on now.
I love her. She's amazing. If you ever get a chance to meet her, she comes to Throwback Weekend. And she is an amazing human being. She was a teacher for... She knows literally everyone in Calumet County and Brown County. Like,
know
if they see her,
is.
They know because they had class with her.
Right.
She subbed for them at some point.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
She was teaching school back when, like, women didn't really do that. You know what I mean? Like, yep. She's a pioneer. She really is. So,
and she's awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Especially when it comes to the Packers. I mean, come on. Come on now. Aunt Gert, I love the breakdown of the red zone issues. That's it. She's right. Can't have that. No more of that.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I mean, let's go, guys.
You can't have fourth and goal in Lambeau.
Yeah, I'm done with all that. Let's get it in on third down. I'm sick of all that.
Run the ball and get it in there.
I'm sick of all that. I'm sick. The Tampa game, the Detroit game, all those issues, four tries, can't get in the end zone. Screw all that. Enough of that, Mike. Especially early on. Get a lead. Put it away. All right, speaking of which, let's get into the Cowboy game preview here, Mr. Banky.
Yep.
On the Cowboys side, we got Romo, McClain, Hitchens, and Doug Free all not practicing for the Cowboys. Now, Romo, he's been taken off every Wednesday for a long time now this year, so that's nothing big. He'll probably most likely be out there tomorrow, and that's due to his back. Ronaldo McClain still in the concussion protocol, so something to watch there. Anthony Hitchens, who replaced Ronaldo McClain and had the famous issue there late in the game. He's not back yet, so that'll be interesting to kind of monitor. And then Doug Free, they don't expect him back. He's still dealing with an ankle. He's been out for a bunch of games now. So you got to think Parnell will be back there at right tackle, and that's a good thing for the Packers. So it's interesting to, you know, for as late as it is in the year, the Packers – definitely have the edge as far as, you know, health goes, other than Aaron Rodgers' calf.
Yeah.
That's the big X factor.
And that's a huge.
It's a huge X factor.
You know, everybody, I'm like, basically my bottom line is Cowboys are sloppy. We should beat them as far as Aaron Rodgers' calf takes us.
Let's it happen. Yeah, I totally get that.
I mean, honestly, and I know I'm a homer.
No.
Although people on Twitter have been defending me from that. Because when they were saying saying you were a homer,
yeah.
They were like, Corey Banky isn't even a homer. But I am. And I make no bones about it.
You're self-aware.
I really don't care. But at the end of the day, I really believe with Aaron Rodgers on this team,
yeah.
There isn't a better team in the NFL right now.
I'm down with that.
I'm sorry.
I'm down with that.
It's not Seattle. Because the only reason people can say it's Seattle is because Mike McCarthy got a little bit scared about throwing against Richard Sherman. And it's not New England. We proved that.
Yeah, sure did.
So who is it? The Baltimore Ravens?
We'll see Sunday. I don't know. Or actually, I think that's Saturday. But we'll see this weekend.
I mean, really, that's the only kind of unknown, right?
Right. Right.
Like Denver, but Peyton Manning's arm's done, dude. Come on. Like, put a fork in it. It's
and
done.
Panthers? I think we spanked the Panthers.
Dude, we spanked the Panthers.
Although
the Panthers.
But they're playing much better ball. Much better ball now. Although with Star out, it'll be interesting to see how well they can hold up against Seattle. As far as the Cowboys go, we mentioned it first half of the show, definitely expect a heavy dose of power. And one thing you'll notice if you go back and watch that Lions game, they were stymied early. That Detroit front, as we all know, is no joke. And Detroit did a great job, especially against some of the stretch and off-tackle stuff that the Cowboys like to do. They really like to feature that with Murray. It went absolutely nowhere early on. And the Cowboys did a great job of adjusting the run game. Callahan and Linehan and Garrett did a great job of saying, look, we need to junk this. We need to go to straight power, to some traps, and run it up the A gap, the B gap. And they did that with great success. You can expect a whole bunch of that against the Packers. Because I think, as we were mentioning before, Dom is going to have to start, if he doesn't come out of the gate initially with just a ton of, I guess, you know, numbers in the run defense, then, you know, they're going to keep pounding the football until they force Dom to do that because they want to open things up for Dez on the outside. But there's no doubt in my mind, they're going to run a ton of power early in this game.
I'm not afraid of that.
I know you're not.
I'm just not afraid of the Dallas Cowboys. There was a time when I was afraid of the Dallas Cowboys because I was like in bars watching the Packers, and then there were women with too much makeup on talking crap about the Dallas Cowboys.
What are you talking about?
That's what I remember about watching the Dallas.
Was that the 90s?
Yeah, when they just spanked us all the time.
That was a rough
like
time.
Literally.
That was a rough time.
What is in my head are like, yeah, I don't know why. It's like there's this one woman in the back of the bar. And she was like, so about the Dallas Cowboys. And it was the year we just kept losing to them.
She was the female version of yourself, is what you're saying. Because you know how you can get, Banky. You know how you can get. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not answering that.
No, that's all I'm saying.
I have nothing to say.
Finally, don't expect a corner. I've gotten this question more than any on Twitter this week so far. Although that could all change in the next 2 days. More than any other question from Packers fans, who do we expect to see shadowing or covering the majority of the time for Dez Bryant? Who's going to take Dez Bryant? And I've said all along, they haven't really shadowed guys at all this year. They've really kind of stayed to their sides, whether it's Shields and Tremont, Shields and House, Tremont on the inside, etc. They've really not followed guys, and I expect that to continue. It'll be interesting to see, after the Julio Jones debacle, if they do come out and, you know, put Devon House on Dez Bryant, you know, or Shields, or, you know, in Shields, a lot's made of, you know, some of the problems he and Tremont had with Dez last year, and Dez definitely got his last year. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, Shields holds up there better than I think people give him credit for.
I also think, and this is something I wanted to say, about the defense, I also think that this secondary in particular stands up pretty well in the playoffs. They've proven themselves in the playoffs.
Well, they did last year, you know, San Francisco didn't run over them.
The other thing is, and I meant to do this, but I didn't do my homework, but the core...
That should be like the tagline for this show. I meant to do this, but I didn't do my homework. Yeah. Packer transplants.
The core unit... Right, so the guys that were here for XLV,
right,
that are here today, right, minus BJ Raji,
There ain't a ton of them.
There's a lot of them.
There's not a ton of them. There's Matthews,
Rogers, Shields.
I thought you were talking just on the defensive side. You're talking about the
whole
core
team.
Of the team. All right. Now that expands it a little bit. We get Jordy. You got. Not Darren College anymore.
Yeah.
Not Scott Wells anymore.
It was something like last night when I was watching Inside the NFL, I was thinking about that. I was like, what is the core of this team? Like, if you can take XLV,
Collins
and you can
Jenkins
take this year, right?
Right. Like, Nick Collins is gone.
Yep.
But
the number one constant in my head when
James
I was thinking
Starks
about
is there.
It, I was thinking about Sam Shields
and
Tremont Williams.
Yeah, they're there. You know who else is still there? Jared Bush still there.
Oh my God, Nagler.
Big pick in the,
you're killing my narrative, okay?
Big pick
you're
in the Super Bowl.
You're killing my narrative right now.
Big pick in the Super Bowl is all I'm saying.
You're killing my narrative.
Is that or is that not correct?
No, it's not.
All right, let's get to the predictions. Corey, what's your prediction?
I actually am going to double down on my Aunt Gert, except for I'm going to say Packers 34, Dallas Cowboys 7.
Good Lord, man. All right. The Cowboys have been a prolific offense all year. They have put up a whole bunch of points on the road all season long. I don't think that's going to change as well as the Packers defense will play on Sunday. I do think the Cowboys will find ways to score points. I just think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense will figure out a way to score a few more. I'm going to go Packers 34, Cowboys 28. That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. We try to stay away from politics on this show, though Corey does try to drag us down every single freaking week at some point. We've done a great job tonight of staying away from it, but right now we're going to touch the third rail. We are going to mention the world of politics, if only to highlight a tweet from the governor of Wisconsin. This is probably the best thing he's done while in office.
I would say it is the greatest thing he's ever done, and people are already giving me crap on Twitter because, look, I know Steve, the owner. Okay, we're going to show this right now.
There you go.
Okay, this is a retweet. This is the type of owner I'll be looking to hug after a Packers win on Sunday, and it is my man, Steve, the owner.
What's up, Steve?
Okay. I know this man. Some of my greatest moments, well, actually, one of the top five moments of my life, okay? Believe it or not, I know everybody will be...
Is with a man?
Very what? Surprised. With three men.
All right, there we
okay?
go.
Okay? You were one of them, Nagler.
Cut that up and vine it, people.
Kettle of fish,
oh, there
okay?
You go. There you go.
Getting a little too drunk.
Yep.
With, actually, four men. Steve, the owner. Patrick, the owner of Kettle of Fish.
Yep.
Matt Weir, yourself,
yep.
myself.
Yep.
Talking about who is better, the 1962 Green Bay Packers, dude. Which I believe are the greatest Green Bay Packer team of all time.
That's pretty awesome.
Or the 67 Packers, or the 90, just going around,
yeah, yeah.
just going
the
championship
around. Championship teams.
What is, just talking the nitty gritty jargon,
yeah.
nerdy nerdiness. That's
at Kettle of Fish.
Sub niche, Kettle of Fish with Steve
sub-niche.
The owner.
That was pretty awesome. That was pretty awesome.
It was awesome.
But I,
you know what? I for the longest time, I'm sorry I cut you off. But I always thought, like, you know, you look at Steve the owner on social media because, you know, the Pope, the Pope,
yeah,
he's,
yeah.
Not, he's not
Saint
that,
Vincent.
Saint Vincent's not that nice of a guy. Let's just be honest about it. And I thought Steve the owner would be kind of the same. And the guy is amazing. He is an amazing Packer fan, and I wish him the best always. He's a gem. Like
He really is. He is awesome.
A gem of a man, and he's a great Packer fan, and it's great that he represents our team as far as like owning.
And
the
I
Packers.
Believe I'm not sure I don't keep track of this, but I think he's up for induction into the
he should
Packer
win.
Fan Hall of Fame.
He should win.
I don't know if I don't know. I like I said, I don't know the particulars.
The only
I did
person
see, I think,
greater than Steve the owner mentioned. Is Mel Kinoki.
I feel the power.
That's the greatest
Love,
commercial.
That is really, really the greatest commercial ever.
They can never outdo
no,
that commercial.
They'll never. The NFL.
Right now, I wish I had that commercial.
That
to
is
play.
The pinnacle.
If you're on
dude,
YouTube, just do Mel
it,
Noki.
YouTube it.
Feel the power.
Anyway, it is. Yeah, that's the
They highest. Need to make a Steve the owner feel the power.
But speaking of Steve the owner, he is featured prominently in this tweet from Governor Walker. Of course, obviously referencing the awkward bro hugging at the end of the Cowboys game in the owner's suite between Jerry Jones and Governor Christie. I love that the governor of Wisconsin tweeted this out. I'm sorry. I'm keeping politics totally out of this. I freaking love this tweet.
It's a great tweet.
It is so
It's really
great.
Smart of him. Like the yep. politics
Pander
began,
away, dude. Pander away.
But it's
love
really
it.
Smart of him
I love
because
it.
The entire state of Wisconsin would recall his ass if he showed up in the owner's booth with Jerry Jones and Chris Christie on Sunday. So this was really smart move. Kudos yep. to his team.
It was great. It was great. And I will say this, and this is something I've written about before on CheeseheadTV.com. In fact, I think I wrote about it the last time Cowboys came to Lambeau and we whooped their butts. Every time the Packers beat the Cowboys, you know, it's a strike for the little man. It's something for the little guy
well,
to say,
true.
You know what? You take your billion-dollar stadium. You take your special endorsement deals, and you stick them where the sun don't shine. Because as Aunt Gert said, we are as loyal, if not more so, than any fan base in the nation, especially the Dallas Cowboys.
I would agree.
Bring all that nonsense up to Green Bay, and let's show you how football is done.
It's also a notch for socialism.
Absolutely. Bring it on, dude. A socialist system that Jerry Jones happily participates in. I'll remind everyone.
That's true.
Socialize the cost, privatize the profits. Gotta love the NFL.
The no fun league.
That's how they work.
That's the spine.
But can I just say, what other city... Small as Green Bay has a professional
there
sports
is not
franchise.
One.
Oh, wait, there isn't one.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. And they do it the right way.
They
let's
do.
Just let's
and,
not forget.
And
Ted Thompson does yeah. it the right way.
And with
way.
The exception of Vic Ketchman, now with the removal of G-Force, with the exception of Vic Ketchman and Tundraline, they do everything perfectly.
They do it the right way, people.
They do it the right way with those two exceptions.
Yeah, there's a few exceptions. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got there, Corey.
This is playoff time.
It's playoff football.
I'm really excited.
Do or die. Win or go home.
I actually don't want to keep talking, but I just feel for the people that are sitting in their cars right now on Saturday, driving up to Lambeau.
Listening to
this show. I've been thinking about you guys all week. So when you're with your father or your Aunt Gert or your mom and you're driving up, I hope you're listening to the show and I hope you're thinking about how great it is to be a fan and to get to go to Lambeau Field for a playoff game. Do not take it for granted.
Best time of the year. All right. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank Aunt Gert
for
coming on the show, dropping knowledge about the Ice Bowl and today's Packers team, and about the Eddie Burger. Got to get me one of those on Monday.
$1.27.
And everyone who connected with us on the live chat, joins us later on by watching the show on the site or downloading the podcast. You all are the reason we do this. Thank you so much. Diehard Green Bay Packer fans, that is what we are, and that is what we are here to serve. Thank you all so much. You make it all possible. We'll talk to you next week. Go Pack, go.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason, okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?